This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We get a chance each and every week to talk to the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley as part of our Dog Report, brought to you by our friends at Kroger. And we're in Gwinnett, guys. We'll tell you more about why. But, Barbara, what did you think about the win against Miss State? Mike was at the game, and we were talking about this all week. And you know, part of it was last week you said, I wanted to see some urgency. How did you feel about this game?
About the one coming up Saturday?
Well, coming off the Miss State win, did you learn anything new about these dogs?
No, all I could think about was we got through what could have been a spoiler. Sometimes when you're looking ahead, and you can't help but look ahead to something like Texas, and that's when a lot of teams mess up. I think Alabama messed up when they lost to Vanderbilt. They were looking ahead. So, yeah, I thought we got through it. And now here we are, ready for a huge football game. And may I say, I don't know what the spirit is in Texas right now, in Austin, but Athens is out of their minds waiting on this game. Everywhere I go, people stop me and go, "Are you ready for the game Saturday? What do you think?" And I'm getting more nervous, but I do think this. At least I don't have to go home with a coach if he loses it.
That's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, in your experience with Vince, the legendary Vince Dooley, did you ever have any dealings with Darryl Royal, the Texas coach?
I love Texas Royal. I think I told y'all the story about that, didn't
yep.
I?
Yes, ma'am.
You did. So,
yeah, we were good friends. In fact, back in the old days, all the coaches and the wives were really good friends. I'm not sure it's like that today. It's too big. But back then, Darryl Royal was head coach at Texas, and they were in the Southwest Conference, which, of course, is no more. And so now we have joined arms, and Texas is in the SEC. I never would have believed it 20 years ago, but here we are. And I think this game has more significance than a game that we've played in a long time.
Barbara Dooley, our guest, the last time Georgia traveled to Austin, 1958. Due to what Barbara was just laying out with the conferences. Here's the thing that I'm curious about, Barbara. So Georgia beat Texas in 1983 in the Cotton Bowl. Obviously, Vince is there. And the seniors on that. Yes. And the seniors on that team were a combined 43-4-1.
Last of Herschel, right? Yeah.
And they won SEC championships and a national title in four seasons. So those were the guys that Vince was coaching. Talk about that time period, because that's the last time when you talk about, you know, a significant big game. And, again, the Cotton Bowl in 83, that's a big game.
And the relevance and dominance, similar to what Kirby's got going now.
Big, big game. Yeah, I talk about that time period.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, it was the coldest winter. That winter was the coldest winter I can ever remember. And Vincent kept coming home after practice and saying, "You won't believe this, but there were icicles on the goalposts in practice." And I thought, oh, my gosh, well, at least we're going to Texas and it's going to be warm. Well, we were, of course, we were underdogs, which was a great thing. But we got to Texas, and it was the coldest they'd ever had in Texas. So that started our Cotton Bowl experience off. It was a fabulous time when we got there. And I'll have to tell you this story. The night before the game, my son at the time was about 18, and he was a walk-on. And he called. Some of the kids decided they wanted to go out for New Year's Eve. Well, we were staying at the Anatole Hotel, and they were having this huge New Year's Eve party, but they were sold out. But Daniel said, I think I'll call and see if I can get a reservation. Without me knowing it, of course, and of course without his dad knowing it. So he called, and they said, what's the name? And he said, Dooley. I said, oh, Coach, great. We'll have you a table ready. So he got the best table at the whole party with his buddies. And the waiter kept saying, when is Coach coming? Oh, he'll be here. He was just late getting off the practice field. But, I mean, can you imagine? It's like the preacher's son running out and doing something right. like that. Of course, I didn't find out about that till he was about 40. You know, the older I get, the more I'm finding about how perfect my children were not. Yeah. But it's good that I didn't know about it. But I remember that game so vividly. We were losing. It was 10, I think it was 10 to 3. It was fourth down, and I'm screaming, go for it, go for it. And he lines up to punt, and I went, Vincent. In my mind, I'm going, Vincent, what are you doing? We don't have that much time left. But he punted, and the punter fumbled it, and we got it. And anyway, John Lastinger was the quarterback. And John he ran it in. I think it was about a 20 or 30 yard run. I can't remember exactly what happened, but we got the ball. Then John was the quarterback, and we scored, and we beat Texas 10 to 3. And it was like a madhouse. And the coach that was coaching there, oh, you got to help me with that. He had been there so long. Was it Freddie?
Fred Akers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was. Anyway, I think he got fired after that. I'm not sure. But I remember running out on the field and grabbing John Lastinger. And I said, oh, John, you are so wonderful. Are you going pro? And he went, Miss Dooley, this jock strap will be hanging in my closet. It has retired. And I thought that was a great answer. He was through.
That is. And, yes, you are right. Vince got him fired. You are right, Barbara. That is exactly what happened. Fred, you know what? Losing that Cotton Bowl, and you know this, those bowls back then, I know they're tied into the college football playoff, but it was such a big deal to be in those big-time bowl games. It's Barbara Dooley joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, and our good buddy, you hear Drew Butler, his dad, Kevin, had a couple of big field goals in that game as well for Georgia. Barbara Dooley's with us. All right. Good.
You know, back then, coaches got, before all of this happened with the NIL and the college playoffs and all that, back in the old days, the before the last game was played, the coaches were on the telephone with the bowl people negotiating who was going to go to what bowl.
Yep.
And I can remember Vincent trying to get Georgia in a certain bowl. And they said, Coach, we can't talk about bowls till Bear picks his.
Bear Bryant.
Yep. I mean,
that sounds right.
He had first choice on any bowl he wanted to go to. And yeah. I was talking to a bowl man just last week who was here at the game with Mississippi State. And I said, how do you like this new system? He said, we don't like it at all. In fact, I did not know this. They don't get any money. They pay for everything, and they don't get any money from the bowls anymore. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's one of the downfalls of college football, in my opinion, Barbara. If you are involved in the college football playoff, obviously your conference, your school, that's different. But we're only talking about 12 teams now, right? It was just four. So to your point, it's not what it once was as beneficial to a school to go to some of the lesser tier bowl games.
That's why you see some of the schools don't bring their bands and everything like that because, again, it's just they're not getting the windfall they're getting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have the money. Well, I think a lot of the schools are really going to be in trouble with this NIL about bringing anybody to any games. I don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah, it's hopefully it fixes itself, and we still have a lot of work to do. We got to talk about this weekend, though.
Yeah, and Barbara, your family, with your long history of handicapping and gambling, we want to know your take. Should we bet Georgia? It's at 5 points right now. Georgia's getting five. It was opened at around 1.5 up to 3, and now in some sports books, it's 5.5. I think Georgia fans should jump on that.
I would jump on it in a heartbeat. In a New York minute, I would jump on it. Let me tell you. I don't care about odds. I know this. Georgia is ready to play ball. And now, I probably will get in trouble for saying this because I only say it in my family, but I'm going to tell it to y'all. If I were Carson, you know what I'd do?
What?
I would give every offensive lineman a brand new car. And say, watch my back.
Yeah. I might just give him a nice watch, Barbara, but I understand your ideas there. They got to protect us. Do you want to see run the ball, though? They got to run. The best protection for Carson is running the football in this game.
Yeah, but he's got to have blocking to run, baby. You don't just run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if each one of them got a car, I think we'd do really well. I think we have.
Barbara, you know your influence goes a long way, right? You know that. You know that.
Well, I want to tell you this because I can hear my husband now. Barbara, keep your plays to yourself. One year, he had the most fumbles in the history of football, I think. And so he came home one night after practice, and I said, Vincent, I've got the greatest play for you so that you'll never fumble again and lose it. And he went, what? I said, when you line up, get your offense to turn their backs to the defense so they'll be in a better position to cover the ball when the quarterback drops.
And he probably looked at you sideways, didn't he?
He said, I don't need your coaching. Please, I don't need it.
Barbara,
but you know what? We had to have a little levity in this house. You
for sure.
Have some fun.
Yeah. You do.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
Well, listen, it's great. And listen, maybe we'll get into this as we move through the season with you. I don't know if the average person, right? We all have pressures in our job, but that never stops when you're a college football coach. It just doesn't go away. You go to the gas station, somebody sees you, you're at the grocery store, it just doesn't stop. A lot of people today who are listening get to go home, and nobody's bothering them. Nobody's calling them, it's just different.
Yep.
So, but we'll talk about it, Barbara. We got to run. Here's the deal, though. Great. I hope we get a great game at Texas. I know Georgia's the underdog. Kirby said this week, we never see ourselves as the underdog. You don't think he's pushing that? Big time, right?
Yep. Bet on Georgia.
Barbara, thank you.
On.
We'll see you next week. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Go Dawgs.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's certainly, and we've got into it yesterday, and we'll talk more about it later in the program. You know, the hype around this one, you don't need to hype it. It sells itself, and certainly the TV number is going to be through the roof, going to be the most watched college game of the year. And just hope that, you know, the game plan, whatever Bobo is working on, I know I've been banging the drum about running the football, but you think they're going to be it's going to be a dial score. I think, like everything else we've seen in college football, it's going to be a high-scoring affair.
I do. Points are going to be put on the board. But and I know, you know, Texas's defense, we'll get into it a little bit more here. You know, they're number one in many categories. But I think their points to be scored. And more importantly, Mike, I still think this is a one-possession fourth-quarter game.
I know we got to catch a break. But the Texas, as good as they have not seen a passing offense like Carson Beck and Georgia on their schedule so far.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Guys, it's Dukes and Bell. We'll tell you where we're at when we come back. Also, where we're going to be on Monday. And we want you to come hang out with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, so where are we today? Well, I'm glad you asked. Just two guys hanging out in the parking lot.
Now, we've been doing this our ninth year. We've been out here, save for COVID, but we've been out here to help paint Gwinnett pink. And this is one of the biggest 5Ks. There's a lot of cancer walks and runs around Georgia this time of month because obviously October, that's why you see the pink on baseball and football players this time of year, Carl. But we've been doing this, and we go to the Gwinnett Medical Center Foundation. This is over here, and I'll give the exact address so you guys know where we are if you want to swing by, because it's been funny. Guys have been coming by who, like, whether it's a delivery guy who works for UPS, or DHL, whoever the company is, FedEx, and those are a lot of our loyal listeners because they're in the truck all day.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are y'all doing over here, man? And this guy, it was literally like a drive-in movie theater. We had a dude in his truck just watching the show right in front of us. But we are at 1755 North Brown Road in Lawrenceville, paintgwinnettpink.com. It's a huge, as we said, 2,300 folks or more, and a couple thousand people come to watch and support the runners and walkers. And I'll be up there on stage, and we do a lot of cool stuff, a lot of entertainment, live music. It's going to be a lot of fun. But normally we have tents set up where the tables are here, where people pick up their packets, and so we're part of the whole package. The packet pickup is inside.
Right.
So the people are coming by, and it's like two dudes wearing headphones just talking to themselves in a parking lot.
It looks weird.
So it's kind of – but we are going to paint with it pink at Coolray Field on Saturday. So this is just something we do. We'll talk to Jen coming up next segment, our friend Jen Griffin, who got us involved in this nearly a decade ago.
She is amazing. She does a great job and has grown this event tremendously. Mike, I think the funniest thing for me – and then we're going to let you hear from Bijan Robinson and Michael Penix. Who? Yeah, Michael Penix talking about what he's learning from
the scout QB this week, by the way.
Yeah, and Bijan talking about this offense with Zach Robinson. But there was a guy, a brother, that literally walked up and goes, what y'all doing? Now, we've got a Big Ten out here, okay?
It says 92.9 The Game, and there's .9, which generally means radio station.
Yeah, and he says, what y'all doing? And then, you know, we're like, hey, we're doing our show. What y'all up here for? Y'all got some tickets? No, we don't have any tickets.
The guy literally, first thing he goes, you boys have tickets. I go, for what? He goes, you know, for a game or something. I go, you don't even know what you want.
We don't have any tickets. But then, Mike, here's the funny thing. He goes, so is this show any good? Y'all on the radio? I said, yeah, I've heard it's really good.
That's why I've told our boss, if we could just get one or two billboards around town, maybe we get the rest of the word out around town for those who don't know about the show.
It made me laugh. But then afterwards, though, he goes, oh, all right, well, I'm going to have to listen. So what y'all think about Georgia? Immediately, you know? So,
but again, that's why we never assume that people know about the station. That's why we always say to our new audience, welcome to Dukes and Bell. But that was funny as heck. Now, we will have some tickets and some goodies, all sorts of prizes, including an autographed Kyle Pitts jersey. We're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wing, guys, the Perimeter Mall location. That is on Monday. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll be at Twin Peaks over in Kennesaw, our usual location. Yep. Monday, big doubleheader, though, including a game which has implications in the NFC South with the Ravens and the Bucks. One of the doubleheader. But we'll be there and look forward to seeing you guys. I think a lot of the guys from the other show is going to come out on Monday at Perimeter location for Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, and Buffalo Wild Wings is hooking you up, man. I mean, come out. They got a your six-pack with two entrees, two sides, two drinks for only $19.99. Happy hour as well, Mike, from 3 to 6. And then, you know, the giveaways on top of all the other stuff. And by the way, I said I've got some extra stuff I think we're going to have.
Right.
So you got to come through and find out. And you'll have a chance to register to win some of this stuff. But it's going to be fun, man. Thanks to our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Now, obviously, last year, the World Series with Texas and Arizona making the trip. It wasn't exactly the most compelling. But I looked at the numbers, guys. I said, what do you mean the NBA Finals are doing better numbers than the World Series? Last year, the final game of the NBA actually did beat the final game of the World Series. 2 years prior, when it was Phillies and the Astros, it was different. They actually beat the NBA. But last year, just give you the numbers, the final game five of Celtics and Mavs was 12.2 million for game five. It was 11.4 million for game six of the World Series last year. So just to give you some perspective, and I went back and looked at the numbers. Now, again, it's a long time ago back to the 1999. 99-2000, you know, Braves went and played the Yankees in 99.
Yeah.
They had a great number. And some of that was because of the TBS heritage, America's team.
For sure.
When the Mets played the Yankees, the numbers were way off. So it wasn't like the New York, the Subway Series got a big bounce. It just doesn't seem to play in the flyover states. So I'm curious to see, you know, if it looks like the Dodgers are going to do it. And maybe that, you know, the pizzazz Chris was talking about in Yeah Man, No Man of Shohei Ohtani going up against Aaron Judge, you know, two Ruthie and homer run hitters. But I don't know. I was so invested in the Braves just getting into this thing. I don't know. I'm spent. I'm just not devoting a lot of time. I'm casually flipping back and forth on the world's on the NL and ALCS.
Yeah, you mentioned the Midwest, Mike. That's because their fandom is for the Reds or the Cubs, okay?
Cardinals, right.
Correct. It's not the Yankees. And so when their teams are not involved, you're talking about a large swath of the country that are hardcore baseball fans that are not going to watch or not be as interested. But baseball needs these big brands. They need the big brands to be involved. And, you know, again, you want a small number if you're Major League Baseball. It's not that they are hoping for this, but we said this. Kansas City, great year, and they're going to be good next year. And they may have the best – check that. Right. They do have the best shortstop right now in Bobby Witt. He is something to watch and a guy that you want to pay a ticket and go see. But when you talk about the mass appeal, you know, MLB was like, oh, Kansas City, here we go again. And they were good in, you know, I think 2014, 2015. Bottom line is they need these brands. And to your point about the Braves, here's what the deal with the Braves this year. It was exhausting. Watching the Braves
really was
exhausting.
I mean, not to sound like a bunch of candy arses, but
it's the truth.
It's like there's a little bit of fatigue over the way this season played out, where it's just belly punch and body shot
that's
all
what it is.
Season long for
yeah,
the Braves.
If things went smoothly like it did last year for us, where we just coasted, we rolled everybody, you knew the team was good, it felt different. This year, every game you're watching, like, who's getting hurt? What pitcher's going to – well, something's going to happen here. You just felt like you were waiting for a disaster, and that's exhausting. So I hear you there, but I still think the big brands will do Major League Baseball a favor.
And for what it's worth, the Braves and the Astros did 14.1 million viewers in Game 6, the Soler home run, versus the following year, Houston and Philly, it was 12.5 million for what it's worth. And I think some of that goes back to the national appeal of the Braves going all the way back to the days of the Superstation.
I totally agree. Mike, when the Cubs finally won the World Series, go look at those numbers. I mean, there were people, you know, again, 100 years, it'll never happen. It's sort of like the Red Sox in 04. You get those unique situations that you have everybody wanting to see how this is going to play out and if it's their turn.
Hey, I looked it up. Don't be sure I'm precise, Carl, on these numbers. Look at this real quick. 1999, that was the year that Javi got hurt. Braves go to the World Series. The Braves and the Yankees, of course, the Yankees swept them, so that cooked some of the drama out of it.
It did.
Talk about how the game has changed in this 25 years.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You got 25 million viewers watch Game 4.
It's fractured, Mike.
25 million. Now, the year later, the Mets playing the Yankees, it was just 18.9 million for their final game of that one. That's what I'm going back to. I just don't think, if you feel, the Subway Series, you just don't float it. Dodgers, Yankees, that might. Maybe next year, Carl, we'll do the packet pickup at Hooters. Just a thought. It's one of our best friends. About 9 years ago, we met this lady who's going to join us right now on Dukes and Bell for some guy talk here, as we're here to help paint Gwinnett pink, and that's Jennifer Griffin. And, Jen, you are the grand poobah of paint. at Pink. This is your final year.
True.
Carl, we had to drag her on the mic. She's like, well, Shannon is taking over. I said, come on. And she's one of these people, Carl, I can't go on. And she comes on and she kills it.
She said to
she
me.
She protests too much, methinks.
Well, literally, I walked in and I was like, Jen. And they were like, where's Jen? Anybody seen Jen? Where's Jen? She's in the back room. And I'm like, it's time. Yeah, and I felt like she was in the green room, Mike. And she was like, do I really have to go out there? Yes, you do.
Oh, my gosh.
You're hiding on us. You've done this eight times prior.
I know, but it's always different every year. So
right.
Know.
Well, for folks who are new to the show and maybe new to the event, explain what Penguin at Pink is about, how it all got started.
So Penguin at Pink is a 5K. Well, we do a 5K for breast cancer in Gwinnett. It's one of the biggest events that I started, along with a couple of other people, in 2016, just from a thought. And then that thought just grew into what it is today. So we're 9 years in. What we do is we raise funds for tomosynthesis, which is equipment that we attach to our 3D, to our 2D mammogram machines, and it makes a 3D image. So we have had the opportunity to put 2 and 3 machines in each of our breast cancer centers, and I think we have a total of 5. So all of our breast centers are fully equipped with the latest and greatest equipment from this event.
Right. And the money that's raised, obviously it's going up every year, but just an estimate, what are we talking about now?
So to date, I think we're over 3 million.
It's amazing.
Over 3 mil.
Yeah,
over
that's great. Mm-hmm. And again, guys, it'll be at Cool Ray Field. You can still now. I know they're kind of like stretching the limits right now. I think we have a few T-shirts left. Over 2,300 run walkers. Well, then just come on down and support, guys. There's always some live entertainment. There's always got some singers and dancers. And this year we even have an axe throwing station.
We have an axe throwing station. Can you believe that?
No, I cannot.
Axe throwing for breast cancer.
so we had an experience. I was telling Jen and the gang earlier, as we're live here in Gwinnett, about our event with our producers, Olympics, Carl, and how we luckily everybody came through with 10 fingers and 10 toes.
Yeah, it's fun. It's for a great cause. And real quick, back to the mammograms, because I'll say this. So my mom was a breast cancer survivor. When she got it, I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
And of course, you think the world's coming to an end because you don't understand,
right? Absolutely.
And from that point on, I have two sisters that are older than me. So I'm saying this to the ladies who get your mammograms.
Get your mammogram.
You have to do it. And this is a big event that helps towards that, obviously, in the research and the equipment, as Jen's talking about. But I just wanted to mention that. I mean, it's one of those deals where we talk about men things usually on this
show. Absolutely.
But here's the thing.
Men need to get mammograms as well when indicated.
Correct.
Because they are prone to breast cancer. Anybody that has breast is prone to breast cancer.
Yeah.
With or without a risk.
Right. So, and men gets in the lymph nodes and his own concerns. Exactly.
Yes. Whether you're high risk or you're predisposed or family history, you can get breast cancer, period. But if you're in that high-risk category, just like you were saying, your mom had it, so you have two sisters, you guys can have genetic testing
to see
if you're predisposed to the BRCA gene.
Well, and the good thing that came out of that, and you know, hopefully this is for most people who have to deal with this, is what you're saying, the precaution of getting the necessary, you know, care beforehand. And not waiting around. Jen, let me ask you this, because Mike is talking about this relationship we have with you guys, and it is great. Mike's going to be hosting on Saturday, but you're stepping away. And we found that out. I found that out today, and I was like, so let me ask you what I ask all these guys we have on the show. What are you going to do? What are you doing with your time? This is an amazing thing.
Well, I'm not – I will be around, but there's so much going on, you know, in the world, and Northside we're just expanding all of our services everywhere, and oncology is one of those departments that we're expanding. So I've just taken on a new role, still in oncology, because it's needed.
Sure.
And passing the baton on to someone with a little bit more energy than I have. And a little bit more creative and a little bit more youth. So, sometimes you have to know when to fold them and know when to hold them. Yeah. And it's been a good thing. And I've always been told that, you know, the mark of a good program is that it consists – and continues when you're no longer there. So I'm at that point that I can pass the baton to someone else, and I'll be around. I mean, I'm not going to just walk away, but I will be around. And Shannon is going to be phenomenal. She's done a phenomenal job this year, and I know she'll continue to expand and grow the program.
Yeah, next year will be 10 years. 10 years.
It'll be 10 years. Can you believe that?
I know. Pink, when it pink. I think
literally,
I was,
it's like
I was
10 years.
Telling Carl earlier, we had the virtual, which is kind of funny. Where basically, you did your own 5K, turned in your time, and then we taped some videos downtown at Midtown Atlanta for that. But yeah, now we're back to this big crowd. So entertainment. People want to come down. What's the time frame on Saturday?
So it actually starts, we're going to start with our Survivor Celebration at 7:30. That's a big celebration where we have breakfast and with survivors and their caregivers. The physicians can come and just kind of meet and greet and mingle with the patients. And then after that, it'll walk right into our 8 o'clock program. And the program will consist of music. We have the NFL Players Choir. They were there last year, and they are phenomenal. They'll be back again this year performing. And it'll just be a fun day. Then after that, we'll do the course, of course. That'll start at 9 o'clock. And then after the race, we'll do awards. And then we're out of there.
Right. And then we can watch football.
Then you can watch football. You have the rest of your day. So we should be finished at about
11. Guys, just hit us up on the text line. If they want to get involved in Pink Winnipeg, just go to the website.
Just go to the website.
Okay.
Go to the website and register. At 7 p.m. today, we're no longer taking registrations.
Okay.
Because we are really like very happy about.
It's like Atlanta. We're full.
We're full.
We don't need any more visitors.
Thank you very much. But please come.
Yeah.
You can come and watch the entertainment. And, you know, there's food trucks. There's going to be a lot of, you know, entertainment going on. So if you're not a walker or a runner, feel free to come out because, you know, you can still come in and enjoy the festivities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.